Sloan here, the big one, 700 WLW. Crawling ever so slowly towards New Year's. Now, obviously, Christmas is behind us, and as I look around Facebook and social media, I am impressed with the number of people who received, got, or include in their life new animals as part of their Christmas and or Hanukkah regimen. Joining me in studio this morning, Dr. Doug Hoffman. He is the capo de tutti capo of everything when it comes to a veterinary medicine in the tri-state.
Hi, Scott. How are you?
How are you? How's everything?
I'm good.
You good?
I'm good.
Because yeah. Other vets call you when other vets can't answer questions. You're the guy they call.
Okay.
You're like the Ghostbusters of veterinarians.
The Ghostbusters. Yeah, that's good.
Right?
That's
good. So how's everything, by the way?
It's good.
Care center, everything's good?
Everything's great.
Good. We'll get into more of that in a second. So the reason I had you on is because of that. The number of people getting animals this time of the year, always a huge spike, right?
It is a big spike. Yeah, a lot of first-time puppies, first-time kittens, and ends up being very busy for the general practitioners that are getting to see these.
What do you
pets.
Wind up getting? I mean, obviously, they probably ingest things, I would think, right? Wrapping
well,
paper, shiny items, things like that.
We see that. That's a big problem for us on the holidays. You know, cats with tinsel, although I think tinsel's kind of gone by the wayside. So
kind of has. Yeah, I don't see much tinsel anymore.
But that was a huge one back in the day.
But don't they just kind of pass that?
Not no,
to get
they
gross?
Don't, actually.
Oh, really?
It actually causes a really nasty, what they call a string foreign body, and it binds the intestines up like an accordion.
Ooh.
And unfortunately, I've done some Christmas surgeries to take out tinsel or ribbon. Had one cat, a little white Persian that came in one time. Had owner was concerned because the ribbon was coming out of the cat's mouth, and I went to take its temperature, and the ribbon was coming out of the rear end, too.
No!
So it literally had ribbon from one end to the other.
No way!
So that's a surgical problem.
So you just can't, like, for example, like when the printer, when the paper gets stuck in the printer, you know, you just kind of pull it out?
Not on this case, no, no.
Really?
That would be bad.
That's insane. And
yeah,
it went all the way from the
crazy.
Mouth all the way to the tail.
Yeah.
Wow. So. The cat was okay after?
Cat did great. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So if you catch it early, it's good.
Yeah, but you
better
catch
it if
late,
they don't eat
it's a problem. Well, I mean, you think about it, right? Especially with cats, too. Shiny objects and, you know, things that move, they're fascinated by those.
That's true. That's true. So you got to watch that stuff. You know, candles is a big one. That was always a big one with the holidays. Everybody lights their candles, and then the cats knock them over, and then they burn stuff down.
Oh, okay. I thought the cats are eating the candles.
No. They want to play with the flame.
With the flame, really?
Yeah. Stuff. You know, there's things you don't think about, you know, what's going to draw a pet's attention. That's the stuff you got.
I would think,
about.
You know, I'm thinking of a Christmas tree. There's ornaments, shiny objects that reflect back to them.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, and it's a tree, too, so they like jumping
into
trees.
They like to climb trees.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They like to climb the Christmas tree.
What about the other end? I mean, dogs, I would guess, probably one of the big things. Is it a problem if your dog, like Clark Griswold, they drink the water out of the bottom of the tree if it's got like some sort of tree preservative in it?
Well, either, you know, it depends on what you're putting in it, but most of that stuff is probably okay. You try and keep them away from it just to, you know, you'll kill your tree if they don't have any water.
Yeah.
But I don't worry about that quite as much. It's more all the other stuff they're getting into, all the people, you know, sneaking them turkey, giving them the bones, all that type of thing. Those are the things we see all the time on emergency. So, you know, those are the worries.
Yeah, but they really, their eyes are so cute. They really want that turkey, Doc. That's,
well, sure.
How are you to say no to a dog? Like, could I please have that turkey?
Well, you know, I mean, you know, the kids really want just ice cream and candy, too. But
yeah.
That's not always the best thing.
Right, right, exactly. Dr. Doug Hoffman is in Care Center Vets on the show here on 700 WLW. A lot of people getting pets over the holidays. As far as housebreaking goes, because, you know, new puppies in the household, and they're cute, you know, because... you see a little cute little fluffy puppy with a ribbon around its neck. How can you say no to a puppy, right? But you get this
right.
Puppy and you go, okay, now all of a sudden I've got a new responsibility on my hands here. So when it comes to housebreaking, can you give me some DVM tips here on how to housebreak a dog quickly?
Well, you know, what's great about this time of the year is housebreaking your pet during the winter is actually a good thing. Reason why is it makes it a little bit easier because the dogs don't really want to be outside as much. So The good news is the big key with housebreaking is routine. So make sure that every time they eat or drink, you take them outside. Then don't play with them outside. Let them do their business. Come inside and play with them. And so they start to develop a routine of, okay, if I go outside and do my business, I get to go inside and play or have a treat or something like that. And since it's cold, they kind of want to do that quicker than maybe in the summer when they would want to play and run around.
Sniff around and find things to do and everything else. Unless you have a husky, and then you're going to be out there all day.
Right, but then they don't really care.
then you want to get that dog in
but
the summer.
But it's really all routine. It's doing the same thing all the time. You know, and I'm not – there's some people will say, you know, with little dogs having like pee pads, trying to train that. Mm-hmm. I'm not a giant fan of that just because you're teaching them to go in the house.
Right.
And then you got to try and figure out how to get them off of that to go outside. Start early, get them outside, just do a routine, and then you know you're going to have a little bit more success because you know dogs are creatures of habit.
Right.
So the more their routine stays the same, the better their life.
They get it. They'll go, okay, this is I need to go. I have to go outside. Yeah. This is where we don't go in the house. We go outside the house. There's some old school tricks. You know, you take your rub your dog's nose in it, and they don't respond to
they
that.
They have
right?
zero memory of that. All they know is that you're mad at them for some reason.
And you have no, they have no idea when you punish them. Does punishment work for a dog? They understand that they make that connection between
behavior.
I think
it does in the moment, and it depends on how you do it. You know, obviously. You know, there's lots of different ways to train pets. And, you know, some people use, you know, the treat method. Some people use more of a discipline method. You know, the key really is just be consistent.
Right.
Don't say it's okay 1 minute to do this.
Yeah, put a pee pad down and then be mad because he's peeing in the house. Right.
You know, and it's the same, you know, it's like with your kids. I mean, if, you know, they can get away with it one time and they can't get away with it the other. Can they or can't they do it?
Yeah, from day one, actually, my wife, we were very consistent with our kids. Is there's absolutely no peeing on the floor.
Well, yeah. And I found
we made him go outside, though. And then I finally learned after about 5 years to go outside like the dog and go to the bathroom. So, and, you know, it's not as good in cold weather, but, you know, we work it out in the Sloan household. So, yeah, you get a new animal for Christmas. It's kind of the newness. Then you realize, you know, the dog's crying through the night, things like that. And it seems like dogs take a little bit more work than cats do. Regarding the new puppy, and do you crate it? Do you let it sleep in bed with you? Where are you on that?
You know, I think it. You know, I think one misconception a lot of people have is looking at cages as a cruel thing. And dogs have a very strong denning instinct, and that means they like to be enclosed and they feel safe enclosed. If you don't make the cage a punishment, it can be a very useful tool for training. Right. So if they do something wrong, don't put them in a cage and punish them because then they associate that as a bad.
It's a negative, right?
Put their food and water in the cage with the door open, so they have to go in that. To eat or drink, they associate that with a good thing. Put toys in there, so they have to go in and get them and then come out and play with them. So they think those are good things. And that can make your life a lot easier, especially if you have a dog that chews things up,
right.
You know, wants to get into stuff. Having them crated is a good thing, but it also protects, you know, the pet and keeps them out of harm. And also, if you make it a good thing, they love it. I mean, I had a Great Dane, and he was cage-trained. The point we had it upstairs, and if I just said, you know, kennel up, he'd run up the stairs and get in his cage.
Right.
And it wasn't a traumatic thing, but it sure made a lot, you know, it was better when you were gone.
Yeah, you get him,
hey,
get
my dog hasn't destroyed.
Get
the
dog out of the way a little bit, you know, right. It's like a go in, inside your.
And then as they get older, you can get them out of that and they don't need it. But, it's a good way to start. You know, whether they sleep in your bed or not is personal preference. You know, I mean, I'm, you know,
but you probably start with a crate, right? And like once they master that, then
we do. I mean, and some of it's the size. I mean, the young dogs, you know, they're going to pee in your bed. They're going to. if so, you're taking
the crate's a better solution.
I'd rather have the crate. When they get older, you know, that's different. You know, I mean, I have two dogs. I got a Great Dane and I got a little miniature pincher thing, Jupiter and Pluto. You know, Jupiter doesn't sleep in our bed, but Pluto does.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a super strong denning instinct. He has to be under the covers all the time.
Yeah.
So these are just the way the dogs are.
Yeah.
So
Michelle's dog's that way, too. It's like she's a little sheltie poo sometimes, but has to be either like between her legs or, you know, nestled against someone, but under a blanket or a pillow. And
right.
And she always goes, the dog can't breathe. I'm like, if the dog couldn't breathe, the dog would stick its nose out. It's not.
I think they're fine.
It's going to be okay. But there's not enough oxygen under there. It's like, have you ever had a case where a dog like died because it went under the blankets too far?
No.
No, it just doesn't happen because it's a dog.
As long as there's nobody's Dutch oving it.
That's a good idea. I'm going to have to try that. Doug Hoffman is on the show here on 700 WLW with Care Center Vets out in Sharonville and talking about new pets in the household this time of year. A lot of houses have them. You think about getting one. It's like seems like this time of the year, it's always cool to have a dog or a kitty under the tree for the kids. And, you know, they come down Christmas morning and see that thing. There's even a car commercial where the kid winds up getting a puppy as well. The dogs seem to be a little more work than cats. Is that true?
I think they are. The cats, you know, if they, once they become litter box trained, are pretty, you know, they're pretty easy, other than dealing with them getting on things, climbing on stuff, which is just a little bit more of a different problem than you deal with the dogs. But I think overall, yeah, the dogs are a little more work just with the housebreaking and training and walking and all of that. Cats are pretty comfortable just laying around the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And is there a training process? I don't know about cats, but to train them to use litter boxes, is just, I thought it was instinctive.
Well, in some ways it is, but it's the same thing with them. It's putting it in a place that is usually out of the way, that they can get to easily, right, that's quiet, that doesn't have a lot of racket around where they're going. So there's ways that you can train them to use the box and not pee outside the box.
Right.
Everybody has a million different tricks for trying those different things, but it's like I said, it's a little bit easier. They're more instinctive to use that than the dog is to.
Why do they have that? Why do cats, how do they develop that instinct where they have to bury, they have to go in sand or something like that and then bury their business?
You know, I think it's a good question. I think, you know, some of this comes down to, you see the same thing with dogs. You know, when they go out and they kick their legs up behind it, it's sort of, I think it's probably going back a long way to bury any scent. But you know, it ends up being something that instinctively, it seems, both dogs and cats do. So
right, yeah. The dogs, I mean, when the dog does that thing where he's flipping his, you know, after he goes and like does that whole bull charging thing, is that a similar type of
same type of thing that the cats do?
It doesn't mean he's going to charge somebody. He's like, he's happy. Dogs seem really happy after they take a dump. Most like people too. They just run around the yard.
There's a lot
like
of people that are happy about.
I'm lighter now. This is great. This is not a bad time to eat again. And on that note too, about the dogs and, you know, trying to get a puppy house trained and also maybe sleep through the night as well. Is there any tricks as far as that goes? I know the crate thing works well, and I guess the rule of thumb is, and maybe I'm wrong about this, is basically enough room for the dog to get in, turn around, and lay down, because any extra space, it may go in the corner of the crate if it's a big crate.
It can, yeah. I mean, you want to adjust the size of the crate to the size dog that you have. But, you know, I mean, honestly, if you're going to be, you know, if you get a Great Dane puppy, you don't want to be buying a million cages, you know, so as this thing grows, you know.
Somebody invented an expandable crate out there in the market.
But I think you're not going to have as much problem if you just routinely get them out, you know. So you don't want to take an 8-week-old puppy and put it in a cage for 8 hours. It can't hold it that long. But you know, over time, you just have to realize you're going to have to get up some, it's going to be some work,
right,
but over time it gets better. It's like having a new baby.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's going
to
be,
they have work. The instinct to chew stuff too. Is there a workaround? Cause at some point you're going to come home and the legs on your furniture are going to be chewed up. It's just what dogs do. Is there a way to curb that behavior?
There's really not a way to curb their desire to chew, especially young, because they're, you know, they're essentially teething, you know,
right,
as they,
right,
they're trying to, you know, they're trying to change out these teeth, you know, just like, you know, babies do.
Mm-hmm.
But you can, what the key is to give them something constructive to chew on. So, you know, don't mix the toys with your shoes and all the stuff that,
right,
you don't want to.
Right.
The dog can't tell the difference between what he's allowed to chew on and what he's not allowed. So have the stuff that he's allowed to chew on in one area and keep your other stuff up. And so it takes a little bit of work on your part.
Always going to have to put stuff out of the way. It's like a baby.
You're proofing your house, like you're baby-proofing the house.
When we got our dog, and she was a puppy then, obviously, and it was the damnedest thing. I was like, man, we can't, where are all our socks going? And then she was stealing the socks out of the hamper and putting them behind the couch, and there was this huge pile of socks we had not noticed. Because I don't know why that is, but she felt the need to take all our socks. There's just little nuances of behavior like that when you get a dog,
right,
for the first time, so don't freak out. Eventually she, I guess, got tired of taking the socks or whatever. I don't know what happened, but oh, here's all our socks. Great.
Well, you were lucky she didn't eat them, because
we had
dogs that's what they do, is all they do is eat socks. And sometimes we've joked that you're like, we have to put a zipper in this dog because he's had so many surgeries.
No way. You just keep going and getting socks.
They just
out of the
can't
dog.
Stop them. And they had the same thing. It was like hampers. They're doing, the dog has some desire to eat socks, but so you're lucky you just collect.
I don't know how dogs have made it this far in you know, through generations and eons, because I love them, but they're dumb as hell.
Well,
cats don't do this kind of stuff. Dog eats, you're eating socks, really?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just gave the example of the cat that ate the ribbon through.
Well, that's probably true. At least that's shiny. It makes no sense. No one like, oh, this is delicious.
Well, dogs will
eat. If I put a sock, one of my socks, in front of you right now, you would not eat it. Is this true?
That is true.
Okay, good. Well, there you go. That's my entire point.
As tempting as that might be, I would not.
Now, what about fish? People get fish here. I don't really consider that a pet. Do you deal with fish at all in your practice?
I have fish. Or I should say my daughter has fish. And we have a lot of fish at the care center, a couple of aquariums, which is good. I would not say that's my specialty. I can't say that I've named any of them.
I was listening to Kid Chris.
My daughter does.
Kid Chris on ABN driving, and he has his daughter. They got a goldfish, and it was swimming upside down, and didn't know how to have that conversation with the kid. And should we take it to the vet? I'm pretty sure. I don't think veterinary. You as a DVM, you're really gonna. And it may sound cruel, but a lot of time and effort involving the resuscitation of a goldfish.
I will tell you, I have done that before. I have had the goldfish swimming upside down with the swim bladder problem, and I have fed it the peeled peas.
So that's the thing, the peeled peas.
Yeah, it is. It's out there. So and I've seen it get a little bit better for a little while, but they always seem to come back. I have tried to drain it. Mm-hmm. I've done the whole thing.
Surgical intervention.
My daughter is a future vet. And every animal, every ant, every fly, everything is precious.
Oh my God, that's awesome. So. See, that's great though. You know, we need as adults because we get a little callous, you know, and we're like, you need that. It's like, oh my, but this poor fly. It's like,
I haven't killed a fly in our house and I don't know how long. They all get let go.
Yeah. So. That's awesome right there. So again, Dr. Doug Hoffman, he's with Care Center Vets in Sharonville. And by the way, if you know, this is a whole new special we can get a chance to get into, and I got a few seconds, but I've done the commercials for you for a couple of years now, and when it comes to cancer care for pets, dogs, cats, and the like, you guys are the only stereotactic center in Cincinnati and in the entire region right now. So people think that that's basically a death sentence for a pet if they develop cancer. But you had some remarkable results.
We have. It's been really amazing to be able to treat some of the cancers that even surgically we didn't think were fixable, and actually you can treat some of these cancers now. Some abdominal cancers, some lung cancers, some brain cancers that you couldn't do anything before, and suddenly we have some options we didn't have before. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, if you get that diagnosis, it's certainly not always a death sentence. And
it's definitely now worth seeing what your options are.
Right.
You know,
so
it's a good thing.
If that's you or a friend or neighbor, anyway, these guys are the best. Doug Hoffman and his team over at Care Center Vets. Happy holidays. Good to see you in studio, buddy. Thanks for coming in. Miss Stephanie, who was born without a tongue. They won't let her talk, but she's lovely to look at, and congratulations on about a mom to be there. So a lot to celebrate this new year coming up. Thanks again. Good seeing you, buddy.
Appreciate it.
Take care.